At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alan Norris, President and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Norris.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for Brookfield Residential's second quarter conference call. On the call with me today are Craig Laurie, our Chief Financial Officer, and Linda Northwood, Director of Investor Relations. I will provide some comments on the current market conditions and strategy going forward. Craig will then provide financial highlights for our operations and financial results. I would also like to remind you that in responding to questions and in talking about our new initiatives and our financial and operating performance, we may make forward-looking statements. These statements are subject to known and unknown risks, and future results may differ materially. For further information for investors, I would encourage you to review our interim report and supplemental information package, both of which will be available on our website. I thought I would share our thoughts on the markets, our strategy, and our outlook. These comments are also reflected in my letter to shareholders, which was posted on our website today, yesterday. As we mentioned in our previous call and as you see in our public materials, we own substantial land holdings in three operating segments made up of 10 market areas. In Canada, we have three markets, California, four, and in Central and Eastern U.S., we have three markets. We build homes in all three Canadian markets and four U.S. markets. Our strategic land holdings in Alberta are our largest assets. Our financial results for the first half of the year were respectable, albeit we anticipate a stronger second half given the underlying strength we believe exists in our Canadian markets. Overall, the housing markets in the U.S. remain very challenging. The spring selling season was slower than expected, and many predict that will continue into 2012. Till U.S. employment begins to decrease in a meaningful way, we believe we will not see a recovery in the U.S. in the housing market. While many individuals can afford to buy homes today, as the cost of rental housing is now approaching monthly home ownership costs, they are choosing not to purchase a home in many cases. This is due to a number of factors: lack of down payment, difficulties in applying for a mortgage, or fear of being tied down to a house in the event that they may have to move, relocate for employment purposes. All in all, there is a trepidation on the part of the consumer about committing to a house purchase today. We do believe, however, that this sentiment can change quickly when some degree of confidence returns to the marketplace. We should also recognize that not all markets in the U.S. will recover at the same time or at the same pace, and we believe our markets to be better positioned than most. In Canada, there have been some press articles recently concerning a housing bubble. When these are analyzed closely, the concerns surround, for the most part, housing prices in Vancouver and high-rise prices in Toronto, neither of which are areas where we operate in. House prices in Alberta remain 5 to 10% below the peak of 2007-2008, we feel very optimistic about the future in Alberta, with more than $100 billion of projects scheduled for Northern Alberta oil and gas exploration. The resultant job creation is expected to create great demand for both our Calgary and Edmonton land and housing operations. With respect to strategy, I mean, in Canada, we believe future opportunities will mainly be normal market transactions, which will enhance our existing assets and can add to our already strong financial returns. In the U.S., several types of opportunities exist today, including short-term assets that meet our return criteria under today's economics and medium to longer-term assets that need both expertise and capital. In many cases, the existing owners of these assets, reluctant owners in many cases, feel that they can hold the asset until a recovery is forthcoming, then sell. They're now starting to realize that these assets may need to be re-entitled to address changing market conditions. We believe as an organization we can offer both capital and expertise in a form that provides alignment with that current owner as opposed to a fee manager who does not have that alignment. Touching briefly on the rights offering which took place during the second quarter, as a result of the merger, as many of you know, existing shareholders of Brookfield Office Properties were given the opportunity to acquire shares in our company. The resultant take-up by shareholders other than Brookfield Asset Management was $182 million. Which we believe to be very positive given the current state of the U.S. housing market. As a result of this, Brookfield Asset Management's investment in our company declined from a potential 91% down to 71%. From an outlook perspective, we are fortunate to have a North American profile which allows us to take advantage of stable Canadian markets and distressed opportunities in the U.S. if the housing recovery is indeed 18 to 24. I'd now like to turn the call over to Craig, who will discuss our financial performance for the quarter ended June 30th, 2011.
Thank you, Alan. For the 6 months ended June 30th, 2011, the financial results reflected continued strength in the Canadian markets, while challenges remained in the U.S. market. Land revenue for the 6 months ended June 30, 2011 increased 56% due to an increase in average lot selling prices and the non-recurring land margins from the change in business practice for lot sales in Alberta. Home closings and housing revenue for the 6 months ended June 30, 2011 declined by approximately 34% in comparison to the same period last year. The decline in home closings is largely a result of the reduced backlog entering 2011 and the slow U.S. spring selling season. For the 6 months ended June 30, 2011, total revenue was $416 million compared to $415 million for the same period in 2010. For the 3 months ended June 30, 2011, total revenue was $236 million compared to $273 million for the same period in 2010. Fewer home closings resulted in the decrease in revenue during the second quarter of 2011, partially offset by an increase in lot sales. Included net income for the 6 months on an after-tax basis is approximately $30 million, and for the 3 months ended approximately $11 million, reflecting the change in business practice on lot sales in Alberta, which was offset by a decrease in revenue from home closing. Title transfers in Alberta are now recorded at the time of sale of a lot and not on the ultimate sale to a home buyer. An after-tax non-recurring land margin of approximately $38 million is forecast for the fiscal year of 2011. Brookfield Residential's net income for 3 months ended June 30, 2011 totaled $19 million or 19 cents per share, compared to net income of $39 million or 34 cents per share for the same 34 cents per share for the 3 months ended June 30, 2010. The decrease is primarily a result of lower gross margin for the quarter and the increase in interest expense with the addition of the notes that were issued in connection with the merger and contribution transaction payable to Brookfield Office Properties. Net loss for the 6 months ended June 30, 2011 was $38 million or 37 cents per share, compared to net income of $57 million or 46 cents per share for the 6 months ended June 30, 2011. Primarily reflecting the increased interest expense of $14 million and the income tax valuation loss of $76 million. Turning to our unit activity, the company currently sells from 23 active land communities, 35 active housing communities. From these communities, the company closed 1,008 lots and 240 homes for the second quarter of 2011, compared to 647 lots and 480 homes during the same period in 2010. It's important to note that our lot closings may vary significantly from period to period due to the timing and seasonal nature of lot sales. The company's average selling price of lots delivered was $146,000 compared to $152,000 during the same period last year. In turn, the company's average selling price of homes delivered was $369,000 compared to $365,000 during the same period last year. Net new home orders for the 3 months ended June 30, 2011 were 455 units, an increase from 374 for the 3 months ended June 30, 2010. Moving to our balance sheet, as at June 30, 2011, assets totaled $2.6 billion, an increase of $28 million when compared to March 31, 2011, due primarily to increased accounts receivable with Alberta lot sales during the quarter. Our land and housing inventory totaled $2.2 billion, or approximately 85% of our total assets, similar to March 31, 2011. Our housing and land assets include homes completed and under construction and lots ready for construction, model homes, and land under and land held for development. And now I'd like to turn the call back to Alan, who will make some closing remarks.
Thanks, Greg. First of all, we'd like to welcome all new shareholders arising out of the successful completion of the rights offering. We will continue to manage our assets with an appropriate long-term view that should reward us all in a recovering market environment. In conclusion, we'd also like to recognize the contributions of Ian Cockwell, our Executive Vice Chairman. After assisting in a very successful transition to the newly merged company, Ian will be leaving the company at the end of August. Thank Ian sincerely for his years of service and his unwavering support through this process. Thanks very much for joining us for the second quarter conference call. We're positive about the future and appreciate your interest in our company. I'll now turn the call back to the operator, who will moderate the question and answer.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. First question is from Alex Avery of CIBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Alan, in the letter to shareholders, you allude to partnering with some landowners, I guess, to do some re-entitlements of some U.S. properties. Is this just normal course business, or is this a new strategy? And if so, can you provide, I guess, a couple of examples of maybe things you've already done or things that you have under consideration?
Thanks, Alex. I think it's a strategy we believe that makes some sense going forward. I can't give you any specific examples other than, you know, we have had some discussions, but very preliminary with different groups. I would say it's more, there's a number of people in the industry in the U.S. that can offer fee management services, but I think what we offer is both capital and expertise, and I think that's how we can differentiate. But we don't have anything that's probably fit to print at this point in time, other than we think it's, I think some people felt the recovery was forthcoming prior to this point, and I think that the longer they stay with some of the assets, they realize some of the challenges they may have administering an asset, even if it's not active at this point, in order to ensure they maintain value. And I think we can offer solutions for some of those somewhat reluctant landowners.
Okay. And I guess you mentioned that you have been exploring some of these potential opportunities. Can you give an idea of the magnitude of the opportunity that you see out there?
Not really. I mean, they could vary from over the map. So I think it's a little bit early days. A lot of this came to light when we realized that, you know, we are that some owners are looking. I think, I mean, there's a number of groups expressing some interest, but there's some that we maybe have to uncover as well. So there's not. I would say that most of these people would require a reasonable amount of capital if they wanted to do something with something like us. But it's nothing that we have taken to any great extent right now.
Okay. And then while we're on the U.S. Market, you made some fairly vague comments about the U.S. housing market, and I appreciate that it's very difficult to say anything concrete. But I think in your in some of your disclosure, you mentioned something to the effect that if indeed the U.S. housing recovery is 18 to 24 months away, you know, how should we interpret that? Is that you saying skeptically that it could be 18 to 24 months away, or do you have?
I'm taking some of that insight. I mean, we've got obviously a fair degree of knowledge as to what's going on in the marketplace, but not a broad breadth across the entire country. But two different reports, conferences, dialogues with various market economists, etc. I think this is a reasonably common position right now. We need to see some movement on the unemployment, and we're seeing nothing in the U.S. economy at this point. And I think we do have to start to see that happening first before that conference returns. I do believe it could return reasonably quickly once some of that groundswell of confidence comes back. But I mean, I'm speaking as an observer as well as somebody who's intimately involved, excuse me, with the U.S. market. I think we've got some ways to go before the that groundswell of confidence returns. I mean, as I touched on in the letter, home ownership costs in many markets is fairly equivalent to home ownership cost. It just, there's a degree of trepidation on the part of the consumer right now. So I think the downside is that we could be a little bit 18 months plus. The positive is that there could be more distressed opportunities present themselves.
Okay. And then, Craig, just on, I guess, the change in practice around lot sales and the title transfer timing of recognition, can you just remind us, I guess, how that arose and if you could quantify the rough magnitude of the impact in this quarter?
Sure. So all it was that in previous quarters, we would make a lot sale. This was really an Alberta practice. We would do a lot sale, and we would not transfer title until to the actual home builder. We would skip transfer and transfer title to the actual home buyer, and so therefore you don't recognize the revenue until the transfer of title. We now transfer title at the time of the sale to the home builder, and so all you're seeing is that the sales that occurred last year with the old title transfer, those are now coming through, as well as our current sales are also coming through. And so you're seeing both pieces come through. During the quarter, and it's broken out on page 11 of the supplemental, the exact numbers, but on an after-tax basis, it was $11 million. On a pre-tax, it was $15 million. The expectation for the year is on an after-tax basis to be about $38 million, about 30 of which has already come through for the first half of the year. So about another $8 million net of tax will probably flow through in the third quarter.
Okay, and why was that change made? Just that's the way the industry's moving, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think from an industry perspective, Alex, it's Alan here again. What the industry practice in Alberta had been just to do the skip transfer at the end. I mean, from a U.S. GAAP perspective, the title has to transfer to deal with revenue recognition, and we always believed that the revenue, that the actual recognition was when we consummated the deal with the home builder, and we wanted to match that timing up to match our records. So we felt it was more appropriate to change the business practice, just to change the actual conveyance of title, which matched up properly with when we felt the revenue was truly recognized from a business perspective.
Okay. That's all right. And then just lastly, you know, there were some comments in the letter to shareholders about some optimism for the second half. I presume that relates to Canada and specifically to Alberta. You know, it seems like there's population growth and lots of capital being invested. Can you just provide a little bit more detail around the, I guess, the outlook for the Alberta housing market and how it's shaped up in the first half? And
yeah, I mean, I would say in the first half we're probably lagging a little bit on house closings just a touch, but because we came into the year with slightly less backlog, but we've had some good traction through the spring from an Alberta perspective, and very good traction in Toronto as well, but out of interest on the sales side. And I would say that there's a bit more optimism, and there's some good underlying activity both in our market as well as in the job market, I would suggest, in Alberta. That gives rise to some positive feelings with respect to Alberta. Somewhat for the last 6 months, because we see some backlog on the housing side, and we've got a few things we're working with our builders who have to replenish lot inventory. So we're fairly reasonably confident with respect to that. But I would say for the longer term in Alberta, unless something major happens from a U.S. or global perspective, we're fairly optimistic on the Alberta future from an economic point of view. Albeit we do have to keep in mind what's happening globally, because there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you read the stuff with Europe this morning and the U.S., et cetera. So we would be impacted, as everybody would be, but in a normalized situation, I mean, we're feeling fairly positive about Alberta right now.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
The next question is from Sean O'Malley of Wedge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. Couple things. The sequential and the year-over-year drop in SG&A was pretty substantial. Is that a result of lower levels of commercial activity? Is it from post-merger synergies? Is there something else going on here that's kind of one-time in nature? Is this reflective of a run rate we can expect from here on?
Sure, Sean. This is Craig. I think it'd be more... The first quarter, as we talked about previously, was probably a little bit on the high side. It was about $26 million. We're just about $20 million this quarter. I think if we look back in our past quarters, probably the runway we would expect is between 22 to 23. But we do expect it will move around somewhat.
Okay. And the land sales in California increased significantly this quarter. Was there a particular large deal that closed, or there was there a series of smaller things that you guys were after there?
We concluded three separate finished lot transactions, Sean, which took place in Southern California, and that basically comprised of the lot sales in the U.S.
Okay. You said Southern California? And then you've not booked any impairments since 2009, which is great, and that includes this quarter. How many projects did you test for impairment in this quarter?
Sean, this is Craig. We look at each and every project every quarter.
Okay. And with a gross margin in California in the quarter that's basically close to zero, or about, I think, zero, should we expect that there's some impairments in California that we may see before the end of this year?
I think some of the It was a bit of a weird quarter with respect to some of the closings that actually happened in some within Southern California. It was a bit of a mix of some of the homes that actually closed. I mean, the volume wasn't great, as you know, but some of the homes that we did close were fairly close to were minimal margins at best. Whereas we do believe that was just a particular thing on mix. Whereas many of the other models have positive margins.
Yeah, Sean, this is Craig. Just to give it for instance, the last quarter of California home closings would have been closer to about 15% margin. So, as Alan mentioned, this is probably a unique quarter.
Okay, so more of a mix thing in some. Okay, that makes sense to me. And then finally, the share repurchase that was recorded in the quarter, were those the shares that were repurchased for the employee stock program that you got from Brookfield Asset Management?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. That's all. Thank you. Good quarter.
Thank you.
As a reminder, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone phone. The next question is from George Smith of Davenport Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hey there. I'm wondering, we're just talking about impairments since 2009. Can you remind me the magnitude of impairments taken prior to 2009?
Sure, George. This is Craig. In general, the impairments were obviously taken on the Brookfield home side with the U.S. exposure, and it was in excess of $300 million.
And then talk about, I guess, priorities for free cash flow and balancing use of cash for kind of recycling of capital into the U.S. from Canada versus paying down debt.
George, it's Alan. I think we're actively looking at opportunities on both sides of the border. As I touched on in my letter, I mean, I would say that the opportunities in Canada tend to be normal market transactions. There's very little distress, obviously, existing in the Canadian markets at this point due to how stable they are. And we just have to balance filling in voids where we have a need in the Canadian markets versus some of the distressed opportunities in the U.S. We believe that the cash flow we monetize out of our home closings in both U.S. as well as the profits we make in Canada, we've got that available to look at on both sides of the border. So we don't really have a specific capital allocation either way. We're just looking at opportunities and where we feel it's necessary and where the right opportunity is to allocate the capital.
Are you generally comfortable with this level of debt?
Yeah, I mean, I think as we touched on even on the Q1 call, coming out of the restructuring, I mean, both companies entered the merger with about 45% debt to cap. We ended up at roughly 58% as a result of the notes payable going back to Brookfield Office Properties. The timetable for that debt is on the senior note is over 5 years, and on the junior note is over in 10 years. So we believe that, I mean, at the time when the transaction was negotiated, we felt that that was the appropriate mix with respect to protecting shareholder equity and putting an appropriate amount of leverage in over a longer period of time on an unsecured basis that maximize both. So I think we're still comfortable. We'd still like to get the debt to cap down for a little bit, matching up closer to that 45% level, but we feel that that's highly attainable over the next little while.
Okay, thanks for the time.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. There are no more questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back to Mr. Norris.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for attending and being on our call. And we look forward to chatting with you at the end of Q3. Thank you very much indeed.